This afternoon, I want you to think with me for a little while on the subject, the perfect hope. We've talked about the perfect plan. We've talked about the perfect home. I want to leave you with the perfect hope. The perfect hope. Turn to Romans chapter 12. It was read to you here in just a few moments ago. And as Paul was writing to the saints at Rome, he was telling them three attributes, three characteristics that ought to be in the life of a Christian. If you're going to be a strong Christian, if you're going to remain faithful to God, if you're going to be able to draw people into the church, he says there are three things that need to be in your life. It's the first one that I want to focus on, but I'm going to mention all three of them. And he says the first thing is rejoice in hope. If we're going to change the world, that rejoicing there in the Greek says to be happy. To be happy, why? Because we live in perfect hope. And when you understand what perfect hope is, boy, you just can't help but get excited. You can't help but be full of joy. You can't help but be full of energy and to want to serve God because you know. You remember that phrase, you know that everything is going to be all right. And so Paul tells the saints there at Rome, be happy because you have perfect hope. And because you have perfect hope, the second thing, you can wait on the Lord in tribulations. If you're going through a trial right now, just wait on the Lord. He's going to deliver you. Why? You got perfect hope. Christians shouldn't become troubled when we go through trials and tribulations. We just need to be patient because God is going to bring us through. I don't know when, but God's going to do it on His time. And we just need to keep on serving Him. Why? We live in perfect hope. And then the third thing, he says, be devoted to a life of prayer. Be devoted to just telling God what you need. Be devoted to talking with God. You know, there are times when there are things that get on my mind. There are two things that I do. One of them I can't do very well, but I do it. And that is sing. Oh, I wish I had a voice. Then we have an excellent song service. Song leader has an excellent voice. And there are times when I sing at the congregation where I preach, they paid me not to sing. Hey, they said, Brother Jones, don't sing. Don't do that. But I love it because it's my way of one way of talking with God. It's one way of telling God things that's going on in my heart, in my life. And then there's prayer. There's nothing like prayer. There's nothing like prayer. Telling God all your trouble, even though He knows, there's nothing like telling God. And one thing you can always be sure of, God will never go to sleep on you. Amen? Your wife may go to sleep on you. Members of the church may go to sleep on you, but God will never go to sleep on you. And so He tells them, be happy because you have perfect hope. What is perfect hope, Brother Jones? Let me tell you first what it's not. You see, I have the hope that I make it to Henderson, Tennessee about 10 o'clock tonight. That's not perfect hope. You see, there's no guarantee I'm going to make it to Henderson, Tennessee. You have the hope that I'm going to quit. But that's not perfect hope because there's no guarantee that I'm going to quit within the next 15, 20 minutes. Then what is perfect hope? You see, perfect hope is not wishful thinking. Perfect hope is something beyond that. And for us Christians, what sustains us and what just keeps us going is that we have perfect hope. And perfect hope is knowing is going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. There are certain things I know will occur. Perfect hope is expecting it to happen. You're expecting, you know it's going to be. That's perfect hope. And Christian, we live in a life expecting it. We're not wishing that certain things are going to occur. We know. Amen? Amen. That's perfect hope. And because of perfect hope, we rejoice. Because of perfect hope, we can wait on the Lord. And because of perfect hope, we tell God and talk to God, and then we wait on God to come through. Perfect hope. Perfect hope. Young people, you need perfect hope. Satan doesn't want our young people to have perfect hope, because as a young person, you're going to go through trials. You're going to go through tribulations. You see, I was 16 when I went through mine. I was 16 years old. I just said, God, I want to be a gospel preacher. And then the next thing you know, I experienced something that shook my faith. It shook my life like nothing has ever shaken me before. And that was the first person I was going to convert died. That was my brother. The first person I was going to convert after saying I wanted to be a gospel preacher was my brother Billy. And I began to work on Billy, and he was going to church with me, and it was August 28, 1974. He was sitting next to me, and he said, Sammy, I want you to baptize me Sunday. I want you to baptize me Sunday. And I said, I'm sitting there smiling from my first convert. It's going to be my brother Billy. I wish that I had baptized Billy that night. On Friday night, Billy went to play basketball. And that was the last time I saw my brother alive. A guy got a rebound, and he came around, and he elbowed my brother in the temple. Blood clot formed. And he fell brain dead on a Friday night. I didn't get to baptize my brother. He's in God's hand. He's in God's hand. My faith was shaken. I quit the church. I quit believing in God for a while. How could God do this? God gave my brother many opportunities. But then that grandmother gave me this Bible. This Dickerson Bible, she gave it to me. And that's why it's torn. I've had it since 1974. And while sitting there looking for an answer, I started reading this book from cover to cover. I can't tell you how many times I've gone through it. I challenge you. I know I have perfect hope now. I know what perfect hope is. And what I want to do in this time that's left is share with you very quickly, I promise you I won't keep you long, is share with you five benefits of perfect hope. Why do we have perfect hope? Before I share with you the five reasons, there are two reasons why we have this perfect hope. The first reason, Titus 1 verse 2. Turn there. Titus 1 verse 2. We serve a God who cannot lie. Did you hear what I just said? God can't lie. And because of that, whatever God says, you can expect it to happen. You know it's going to happen. That's why we have perfect hope. We serve a God that can't lie. Whatever God says, you can go to bank on it. The second reason, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse number 9. God can't lie, and God is faithful. God is faithful. God is 100% trustworthy. God is 100% dependable. And because of that, we live in perfect hope. And that's what Paul had come to understand. And he was trying to get those saints at Rome to understand this. I know you're going through some things and trials and tribulation, but be happy because you have perfect hope. And when you have perfect hope, there are at least five benefits that you can enjoy. The first one, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, is an anchor for your soul. Perfect hope is an anchor for your soul. You're going to have ups and downs in this life. You're going to have good days and bad days. But hope, perfect hope, is an anchor. You know what an anchor is for? Is to keep the boat from rocking and moving in the midst of a storm. And Satan is going to send a storm your way. I don't know when. It may be next week. It may be next year. But a storm is coming your way. And if you're not ready, is going to shake your faith. But what would keep you in the church, what would keep you faithful, is knowing you have perfect hope. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, turn. You want to see perfect hope? Turn to the book of Job. You remember the story there where God allowed Satan. God didn't do these things to Satan. God allowed Satan to do these things to Job. He took Job's family away from him. He took Job's wealth away from him. He took Job's health away from him. He took Job's friends away from him. What a friend to come over and say what they did to Job. That's Satan taking Job's friend. And ultimately he took what? His wife. Even his wife came to him and said, honey, you ought to just curse God and die. Here was a man who had lost everything. But you know what Job said? Job 14, he says, I'm going to wait till my what? I'm going to wait till my change come. I trust God. God, I'm going to wait. I'm not leaving God. He maintained his integrity. You know why Satan couldn't shake his faith? Because he lived in perfect hope. He knew that we serve a God. My Redeemer lives, Job says. My Redeemer, my God lives, and my God can. And when you skip to the end of the book, you see where God restored his family 100-fold. God restored his health, and God gave him wealth beyond his imagination. Hope, perfect hope, anchors the soul. It gives you the power to stay in there because you don't live in a wishful thinking life. You live in a I know. I know everything's going to be all right. You have cancer? The doctor may say, there's nothing else we can do. But we serve a God who is able. And we live with, I know my God, if it's his will, this cancer can be removed. And even the doctors, the physician, we mesmerize and say, we don't know. We have no explanation for this. It's God. It's God. Christians, we need to live in a perfect hope because Satan is going to try to rock our faith. And what sustains us and what keeps us going is living in an I know my God is able. And Job lived in an I know. What about you? What about you? Perfect hope gives an anchor to the soul. But there's a second benefit. There's a second wonderful benefit. Turn to Psalm chapter 23, verse 4. And that is joy in death. Brother Jones, what are you talking about? You see, when Christians, we die, and we all are going to die. Amen? Amen. But Christians need to die with perfect hope. You see, the day is going to come. I'm going to take that last breath. But I'll stand before you. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to die. If I don't make it on that plane, that'll be okay. And if that plane goes down, that'll be okay. Don't weep for me. I'm ready. Not because I'm so perfect, but I live in perfect hope. And I know when I take that last breath, I'm not going to be alone, even though Rhonda won't be with me if it went down. I'm not worried because I know I won't be alone. What do I have? Perfect hope. Look in Psalm 23, verse 4. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For what? You're with me. God's going to be with me. I'm not going to take this last step alone. I'm not going to walk that last mile alone. That's the perfect hope I have. That there's joy in death. For people who have perfect hope, that you'll never be alone. Death, you're not alone, Christians. You're not alone. I will not be alone. Even if my family forsake me, God will be there with me. Oh, that's comforting to me. I don't know about you. Uh-huh. It's to know that I won't take this last mile by myself. My God will be there. And he'll be there for you. Now I can understand. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 21. It makes sense to me. Paul says, for me to die, for me to live is for your benefit, but for me to die is for my benefit. It's for my benefit. I can go to something better. And when I die, I'm not dying alone. God's going to be with me. Paul understood the concept of death, that when you die in Christ, you're not alone. God would be with you. And Paul understood that. I want to stay here and preach to you. He said, for your benefit, for my benefit, I want to go be with God. God has something wonderful in store for me, even in death. You want to see it again? Turn to Luke 16. Look at verse 22. Here's a beggar who died. And look at the joy and comfort he has because he had perfect hope. The Bible says there was a beggar who died, and when he opened up his eyes, he was in what? Abraham's bosom. But what's Abraham? A place of comfort.
Well, who is he with?
Ecclesiastes 12 verse 7, the spirit returning to God who gave it. And when you die right in God, God takes that spirit of yours that he created and put in us, and he places, even at death until the day of judgment comes, he placed that spirit in a place of comfort. You know why? That's the blessed, perfect hope that we have. I expect that when I die, I'm going to a place of comfort. I don't wish it. I know it.
Amen.
I know it. I know that when my body is out there and that clay, my spirit that's made in the image of God will be in a place of comfort in God's presence, waiting for the day of judgment to come.
Amen.
That's the hope. The blessed hope, the perfect hope that I have and you can have if you're a child of God. But then there's a third, and that is one day Jesus is coming back. He promised that. I know he's coming back. I don't sit there wishing for him to come back. I know one day he's coming back. And that's what he says in John chapter 14. You're familiar with those three verses. Let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my what? Father's house. There are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to what? Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. One day, Jesus is coming back. I know it. I know it. That's why I'm not worried. That's why I'm not troubled about what goes on in this world. One day, my Lord is coming back. And that's the perfect hope that I have. That's the perfect assurance that I have. That is what I expect because I know it's going to happen. Thus, Paul says, rejoice in hope. Be happy. I have no reason to be unhappy. Yes, I have bills to pay, but guess what? I don't worry about those. I have aches and pains, but I don't worry about those because I'm going to a place one day I won't have any aches and pains anymore. But in the meantime, he's coming back. Let's go to number four. The fourth hope is one day after death, if I die before my Lord returns, that one day my body, my spirit rather, is going to be resurrected. I can't tell you where the spirit is, particularly the place where Abraham's bosom is, but one day if I die now, my spirit would go to that place of comfort, but one day my spirit is going to be resurrected and God is going to give me a body that's incorruptible. I know that. I'm going to have a body that will live forever and ever and ever, and I'll be just like God. How's God? I can't tell you what kind of form he has. He's a spirit. But whatever he has, I will have, according to 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to have. I don't know what kind, but one day I'm going to be resurrected and you're going to be resurrected if you die. And that's why Jesus says, marvel not at this, for the hour will come when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. One day, Grandma Naomi is going to be resurrected. One day, Amos, my grandfather, he's going to be resurrected. And these have gone on. They died in the Lord, and one day I hope to see them again. That's the perfect hope. The expectation. But then there's the fifth one. Is one day I expect to be in heaven. I don't go through wishful thinking about heaven. Because of that perfect hope. Because of that perfect plan we talked about this morning. One day I have the expectation. One day I have the hope of being in heaven where God is. Don't you want to go there? You see, I can see myself there. I don't know about you. I can visualize it. I don't know. I've never been to heaven. And I don't know what all the wonderful things is going to be there, but I can see myself there around God's throne sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see, I don't know about you. I daydream some days about heaven. I sit there and I just daydream about heaven, how wonderful it's going to be night and day, day and night, forever. We're around the throne of God and there's a lamb sitting on the right-hand side of God, and I'm just singing, thank you, God, thank you, God. I don't know how many years I'm going to be saying it. It may be 100,000 years that I'm just going to be up there, and still I'm saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for loving me so much to let your only son die that I might be able to enjoy this for an eternity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for not coming off of that cross. Thank you, Jesus, for not coming off of that cross. Thank you for allowing them to pierce you in your side for blood to come forth. And with that precious blood, I'm redeemed. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You see, one day, because of that perfect hope, I'm going to be in heaven. And when you make it to heaven, it's forever. Oh, it's forever. It's not for 100,000 years. It's not for 10,000 years. It's forever and ever and ever. And now, can't you understand why Paul is writing to those saints in Rome? And he's trying to encourage them to stay motivated to serve God. He's trying to encourage them to remain faithful to God. And he tells them there are three things that ought to be in your life. If you're going to remain faithful to God, you ought to be happy. Why? You have perfect hope. Perfect hope, perfect expectation of those five things I'm just mentioning. They're going to occur. God will be there for you when you need him. What you've got to do is when God sent an airplane your way to help you out, you got to get on board.
Amen.
When you're hanging over the side of the mountain, you're troubling, and God sent a raft your way and said, no, I don't want to go that way. I'm afraid of water. I don't want to go that way. You got to have faith in God. When God sends you an avenue of escape from what you're going through, take it. Amen, lights. So many times God sent us help, but we go every way but the right way. God wants to help you today. God wants to give you perfect hope, but you've got to turn it all over to him. You got to put your faith in God. You got to walk and you say, I don't see how I'm going to get there. I'm going through some things right now. I don't see how I can be faithful. Oh, God sees. I don't see how I can do this. God sees how you can do it because he sees the potential in you. And God wants every Christian to have perfect hope. He doesn't want you to go through life with wishful thinking. I hope I make it to heaven. I feel like I'm going to make it. No, I know I'm going to make it. I know I'm going to make it. Why? Because my God, who cannot lie, promised me if I obey the perfect plan, and I try to live my life in a perfect home, that God would give me perfect hope.
That's right.
And one day, I'll be in that perfect place called heaven.
That's right.
Perfect place called heaven. Don't you want to go there? Don't you want to go there? Look at your life. God help me, help you. God help us to have a passion to want to serve you. In a world that has passion about so many things, God, give me a passion. I want to please God. I am so thankful that Naomi put this passion in me as a little child. To want to please God. To want to serve God. To want to make it to heaven. And that's why it's easy for me to daydream about standing at the judgment. God's grace and mercy. He says, come on in, Sammy. Let me introduce you to my father. Come on, Sammy, let me tell you. Let me introduce you to my father. And to go before Jehovah. And Jesus says to Jehovah, this is Samuel Thomas Jones. And he says, yes, I know him. I know him. There's no greater accomplishment in life than for Jesus to introduce you to his father. And he wants to introduce you to his father. What's hindering you from turning your life over to him? God loves you. And as I leave here this afternoon, I want to leave you with this. God loves you. And God wants a relationship with you. But it's based upon the condition of you doing your part because God has done his part.
That's right.
It's based upon you doing your part. God has done his part. We have a perfect plan. Now God needs me to surrender to his perfect plan. Well, Lord, what does he have me to do? If you're here this afternoon, you haven't been baptized. Why not? Jesus. To be washed in the blood of Jesus. And when you come in contact with the blood by act of obedience, by the act of obedience, the Lord could have saved us any way he wanted to, but Jesus chose the act of obedience through baptism. That when we're baptized for the remission of sins, our sins are washed away. And when we sin, after baptism, that blood is so powerful that it keeps on cleansing us. You know why? That God that I talked to you about earlier is up in heaven saying, Sammy, I believe in you. I believe in you. He believes in you. Look at your life. And if we can help you, that's why special days like this is planned, not just for visitors, but for members to be encouraged to keep on keeping on. To keep on keeping on. And I say it again, to keep on keeping on. Why? You have hope. Not just any kind of hope, perfect hope. And if we can assist you in any way, why don't you come as we together stand and sing.